ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. Sources tell ABC News that an indictment against former President Trump could happen any day. ABC News has learned that Trump received a letter informing him that he's the target of a special counsel investigation into his handling of classified documents.
According to Justice Department policy, now that Trump has been notified that he faces the potential of indictment, he's afforded the opportunity to make himself available for questioning, but Trump apparently has not given any indication that he plans to cooperate. So with that target letter sent days ago and with no response, prosecutors could seek an indictment any time now.
That's ABC's Pierre Thomas. States up and down the East Coast are suffering another day of hazy, smoky conditions. Canadian wildfire smoke has clouded the skies. Washington, D.C. and New York have dangerous air quality. The smoky weather is forcing the FAA to put New York's LaGuardia Airport into a ground stop. The Labor Department says first-time unemployment claims rose by 28,000 last week. This is ABC News. He was the vice president under Donald Trump, but now he's running for president. Mike Pence is drawing some distinctions between himself and his old boss.
Pence zeroing in on Trump's actions on January 6th, saying that he was forced to choose between his loyalty to the former president and the Constitution. He now says that Trump is unfit to serve. Pence is the first vice president in more than 80 years to challenge the president that he served under for the nomination. But he is still walking a very fine line. When asked about the investigations into Donald Trump, he says that no one is above the law, but he also says that an indictment would further divide the country.
That's CBC's Rachel Scott. Pope Francis is recovering after surgery.
The Vatican press office says that the Pope's night passed well after a three-hour operation on his abdomen Wednesday. The 86-year-old pontiff underwent surgery to remove intestinal scar tissue as well as repair a hernia on his abdominal wall.
That's ABC's Marcus Moore at the Vatican. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Cuska. A second Western Wisconsin city has closed its outdoor public pool due to maintenance issues. The Hoffman Aquatic Center in Black River Falls was closed due to a leak in the pool, causing it to lose about 18,000 gallons of water per day. The pool will be closed for the rest of the year while city crews search for the leak and repair it. A city official said their indoor water park would have extended hours this summer. An outdoor public pool in Chippewa Falls is delaying its summer opening due to a burst pipe. The Wisconsin Senate voted to approve a bill that would designate State Highway 80 as the Operations Desert Storm and Desert Shield Memorial Highway. Highway 80 runs from Wood County near Marshfield south to the Wisconsin-Illinois state line, passing through cities like Nisida, Richland Center, and Platteville. And the Crawford County Sheriff's Office has arrested a man in Prairie du Chien on suspicion of possession of drugs and child pornography. 33-year-old Joshua Moak is being recommended for 54 total charges after law enforcement found drugs and electronic devices in his hotel room. The Sheriff's Office said that Moak was on probation at the time of his arrest. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup.
That's awesome.
Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crute. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. This summer, things are heating up on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org, brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Unrelentlessly positive.
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever.
It indicates. Indicative?
Hey, can we focus?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Welcome to the second hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and it is Thursday. So that means we have our weekly segment, Public Service Announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, where we tackle some women's health, some general health, but in general, we talk about health issues and rely on her medical expertise. Dr. Lyerly, how are you doing this week?
So good. Talking about the stuff that nobody else really wants to talk about, but everybody wants to know about. That's what we do here.
That is what we do here. How do you, what would you classify that as? Just like health in general?
I think it is, because so many of the things that we're afraid to talk about affect our general health. All of the, you know, dicey women's health stuff, like sex.
Sex. Ooh.
But I mean, it affects so many different parts of your physical life, your social life, your mental life, like you name it. So
I do,
let's talk about it.
I do. And I've said this to both Jane and you off air, but I'll say it on air because I don't have a filter. What I love is, you know, a lot of the callers we've get in the show, like we have a pretty, I think our audience is pretty split between men and women. And I just love the idea of when we're talking about like a lot of sexual reproductive health and
menopause
and periods and pregnancy, the amount of men out there that we're reaching with this conversation. Because I'll say any of those things without blushing once.
But I think a lot of men do want to know, like they really want to understand what's happening, but they are the least likely people to actually ask those questions because, I mean, for so many reasons, like maybe they feel they shouldn't be, or maybe they don't feel like they have the right place to ask those questions. So here, we are the place.
We are the
Send
place.
Send us messages. Call us. We'll answer your questions.
Exactly.
We're not afraid.
You can always text us any of your questions. You don't have to be on the phone. You don't have to go on record. We won't even have to say your name.
Absolutely not.
844-967-2789. You're always welcome to text us or call us with your questions or email us with your questions at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. So, topics for this week. Let's start off with some topics that are specific, some headlines that are specific to Wisconsin and also specific to me, because as we've said multiple times, I am pregnant. And news story, pregnant women exposed to higher levels of PFAS, more likely to have children with a high BMI. That is interesting. So they're linking PFAS to weight?
to childhood obesity, which is epidemic proportions and has been growing for the past few decades. This is hot off the presses. I literally saw this on an email as I was looking through my notes and getting ready for the show this morning. So the difference that they saw with these women who were exposed to PFAS was nominal. It wasn't huge. But when you extrapolate this to a population size, it has the potential to be a real key factor, a key player in the problem that is this expanding childhood obesity issue.
That is, and was there any explanation of what it is about, and is it, or if it expands to children who then are exposed to PFAS and that likelihood of having a high BMI, or is it just specifically while you're pregnant?
This one specifically looked at moms who were exposed to PFAS and the risk for having children later who developed childhood obesity. And, you know, that could certainly be multifactorial. It's not a, you can't pin it on just PFAS. I mean, there are lots of different reasons we believe why childhood obesity is increasing. But PFAS is a problem in so many different ways, but it's subtle. You know, it's hard for us to really wrap our heads around this because the water tastes fine. It seems fine. But scientifically, we know that this is a huge problem in many different arenas. This is just another consideration that we really hadn't thought about before.
But also the thing with, I think when I think about PFAS, it's our water for sure. But with specifically being a woman, when it comes to forever chemicals, is how much of it is in our makeup. Mm-hmm. Like waterproof mascara, that is literally, like, anything that is water resistant, waterproof, and the stuff that we put on our skin so it doesn't smudge and it doesn't run when we cry is it's PFAS. It's that is what PFAS is. It's water resistant, retardant, like fire retardant. You know, it's stuff that creates a barrier, and it's things that we have willingly put on our skin and in our body, not realizing what the long-term ramifications of it are going to be. And I don't know if there's been studies that women have higher rates of it, but when you look at some of the products that we use and what we're now realizing goes into them, I wouldn't be terribly surprised if we are.
Well, and can I just say this about waterproof mascara? That stuff is like concrete. And the fact that you can't get it off
without a vat of Vaseline
is a sign that something is not good.
But when you are just figuring out how to put mascara on, when you're learning about, you just think all of those products are going to be safe because they're out there and they're available. So why wouldn't they be safe? But I think this is a really great point, and I'd love to explore this. Maybe we could even do this on a future show where we talk about, it's not just PFAS, it's all these other chemicals and the way they test these chemicals that we put in, like on our lips. Our lips are some of the most vulnerable areas on our body. The skin is so thin and we absorb so much through our lips, and we're putting toxic chemicals on our lips so that they can be pinker and prettier. We could do better. There are better alternatives out there,
which we can talk about. All right, but the next headline I wanted to talk about is there's been a breakthrough for endometriosis, right? So first, let's start. What is it?
So endometriosis is something that affects up to 10% of women in the United States. It's common, and it often manifests as really painful periods or heavy periods, or maybe down the road when you're trying to get pregnant, infertility. It is really a confusing disease. Ultimately, what it means is that the tissue that's supposed to be inside of your uterus, which is really special tissue that responds to hormonal stimulation, this tissue somehow gets outside of the uterus into weird places. Sometimes it's in common places like on the ovaries or like behind the uterus. By the way, did you know your uterus is kind of like a puppet? It moves around. Did you know this?
Like a sock puppet or like a Muppet? What kind of puppet are we talking about?
Then I want mine to be Jan from the Muppet Show, if that's what we're going with.
What do you mean it's like a puppet?
Like a Muppet. So it moves, because think about it. So your uterus is anchored down at the bottom by the cervix. So that's where it's kind of like stuck to the rest of you. But it has to have the space to be able to expand. Like, you have a widely expanded uterus right now, Kristen.
I do. Everyone who saw me over the weekend was like, oh, you're pregnant. I was like, yeah, you can see it now.
So in order to give it that room to grow, the top of the uterus has to have a lot of flexibility. So when it's not pregnant and it's little, it can like flop around inside of you. I've actually done a C-section for someone where the uterus had twisted 180 degrees. And when we did her C-section, we made the incision on the backside of her uterus. And after the baby was out, we just turned it back around again the way that it was supposed to be. Crazy.
Does that was that a complicated situation for her?
Well, not surprisingly, she was having a hard time having her baby.
I would think.
And we didn't know that her uterus was rotated because you can't really tell on ultrasound. So it just seemed like she had a normal pregnancy. And we went back to do the C-section. And sure enough, it was rotated around. And because it was twisted like that, it couldn't open up and the baby couldn't make his way through. So that was how that baby came out. But anyway, I'm getting distracted. So your uterus, which is like a puppet so that it can move around a lot, if that tissue from inside the uterus gets implanted in places outside of the uterus, like behind, between the uterus and the rectum, that tissue still responds to your hormones. So when your estrogen level is high during your regular cycle, it causes that tissue to react and to create that menstrual type blood that if it's in your uterus, you shed it. But if it's not in your uterus, there's no place for it to go. So it just continues to grow and get sticky and gum things together. And so sometimes when I am looking inside of someone and they have endometriosis, their pelvis can be entirely locked up with this tissue, the scar tissue and this endometriosis tissue that has the ovaries kind of locked in and the back of the uterus locked down. It can be incredibly painful.
Wow. Okay. And so what is the news? What is the breakthrough for it?
So the breakthrough is that there are different types of endometriosis. And this is another part of what makes it so confusing. I could look inside of someone's body and they could have the worst endometriosis I've ever seen, but be totally asymptomatic. Or I could look inside and see hardly anything, but just do some random biopsies just to be on the safe side and find out that they have endometriosis. So it's very confusing. And what they found with this Australian study is that there are different types of endometriosis. So they took every type that is known and they were able to replicate that in the lab. What that does for us as scientists is it gives us something to aim treatment toward. So like, for example, breast cancer. It used to be that all breast cancer was felt to be the same. You have breast cancer, it's breast cancer, we treat breast cancer. But now what we do is we know the hormonal makeup. We know what the breast cancer responds to. So they target the treatment specifically to the type of breast cancer that we have. And we've increased the survivability of breast cancer because we've been able to target these treatments. So hopefully down the road, and this is a far down the road thing, so things haven't changed yet for the treatment of endometriosis, but hopefully down the road, we'll have targeted treatments and we'll be better able to treat endometriosis.
Got it. Good to know. All right. Well, how much time do we have, Jane?
We have 90 seconds.
Do we have time to get one comment?
It's going to be real quick. This is Michael from Eagle. Thank you so much for calling, Michael. What do you want to say?
Yeah. First time caller. I just kind of wanted to comment on what you guys were first talking about with like the forever chemicals and like the PFAS. And like, I worry about like the more things that I see about that like, so I'm a millennial and I worry about that being like our generation's version of like what boomers are going through with like lead poisoning and from the leaded gas and everything like that. And I worry about like, you know, us just now figuring out and like how much it's like inundated our water system and everything else. And like you said, cosmetics and all that, but that's going to be like what we find out later has caused a lot of issues long term. And so that's my fear. And just I guess I kind of want the doctor's comments on that, what she thought of that.
Well, we got to go to a break right now, but thanks so much for the call and the question. We'll come back with that when we come back as far as what that could mean, PFAS can mean for us long term. But also I want to get your opinion on how serious we should take Surgeon General warnings when it comes to public health. So this is Public Service Announcement on As Goes Wisconsin with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Kristen Bry, and Jane Matinair. We will be back right after the break.
Somebody give me a doctor.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Here's your updated forecast. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 77. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear tonight, lows around 51. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 81. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Upper 70s Saturday with a chance for scattered storms. Upper 60s, mainly sunny skies, Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 70.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are doing our weekly segment, Public Cervix Announcement, with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who is our health guru. Basically, also here and on twice a week with Pat Kreitlow on Up North News.
Usually on Mondays we just do fun stuff, and then on Thursdays we do like an upstream health piece where we talk about some of the upstream things that affect our own personal health, stuff like PFAS.
There you go.
And you talk about upstream,
which is coming back to the question we had at the end, or I guess kind of the topic in general
from Michael in Eagle,
about what is this our generation's lead pipes? Of, you know, lead pipes were everywhere, and what that, and I mean, granted, it's still a thing. Just look at Flint or Milwaukee, but long term, are we still kind of just only scratching the surface for what kind of damage this is going to do to people?
Hey, I feel like this is bigger than lead pipes.
Really?
Because lead pipes, you could go in and replace the pipes and you were done with the problem. But we have polluted our groundwater, and most of us have been exposed to PFAS. It's just people in places with higher concentrations that are going to have more of the effects. And, you know, we're talking about childhood obesity, but PFAS has been associated with increased cholesterol levels, changes in liver enzymes, decreased birth weight, increased risk of preeclampsia and blood pressure problems in pregnancies, decreased vaccine response in children, it affects our immune system, and increased risks of kidney and testicular cancers, to name a few. And all the data's not in. I mean, we're just starting to get the results of the studies that we started a few years ago. So there's so much more to learn about PFAS. Michael was right on point. This is a really big deal.
Well, and where my mind just went when you said preeclampsia and some of the complications it can give for having a baby, and knowing the parts of Wisconsin that are dealing with this the most right now, which there's a lot of parts of Wisconsin that are dealing with this, but it is in more rural areas, which are, we're also having a OBGYN crisis. Like we've talked about this before, like there's certain swaths of Wisconsin where like you have to go very far to find someone who can help you deliver your baby, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you have a higher risk pregnancy, you're going to need more care, more regular visits, more ultrasounds. And when you deliver, you're probably going to need to deliver at a higher acuity center. And how far away is Marshfield or Green Bay or the Twin Cities? If you live in the north, the northwest, you don't have a lot of options. That's really hard on you. It's hard on your family. It's expensive. I mean, you know, it's complicated. And these are all things that in many cases are preventable if we can be responsible, make responsible decisions, have responsible legislators who are actually thinking about the people as they're putting together legislation about PFAS, instead of just throwing money at the problem, actually, you know, creating programs that will eliminate the problem instead of just appealing to the masses.
Oh, Kristen, a girl can dream.
You got to say it, right?
I know. All right. Well, we're not going to have as much time as I wanted to talk about this topic, so maybe we'll have to come back to it. But I saw this from the New York Times, and the headline was, "A Half Century of Surgeon General Warnings. Public advisories from the nation's top doctor are infrequent, but sometimes become turning points in American life." And most recently, our current Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, had put out a Surgeon General's warning about social media. I think that's the most recent one. And loneliness, right? Those are the two kind of most recent ones. And it's interesting because the article goes through some of the major turning points that past Surgeon General warnings have created in the culture. So it's like cigarettes and AIDS and violence on TV and video games. And so, like, as a doctor, as a medical doctor, but you also have an MPH, right? Some Master's in Public Health. Like,
yeah.
How serious, when these things come out, like, are they a big deal, or are they just kind of another headline as far as how they get implemented into the culture and like what we do and do not do?
Hey, they're a big deal. So the Surgeon General's office produces reports, and they are in different tiers. The reports, calls to actions, and advisories, which are the warnings. And these are intended to inform and improve the public health of people living in the United States. So like I mentioned, the advisories are those warnings. And I think the most prominent type of advisory is, you think about like on the back of a cigarette package, there's the Surgeon General's warning about cigarettes. And that was 1964. That was one of the earliest examples. And look what happened in 1964, the Surgeon General put that information out there. In 1965, we started to see our leaders, Congress acted. In 1970, there was another big action. And we've seen the number of cigarette-related deaths decrease and the usage decrease over time. Yeah, of course, cigarettes are the most preventable way of decreasing long-term health effects, including cancers and lung disease and secondary health effects. So this is something that was just, it was a no-brainer. The stuff that Dr. Murthy is working on now is really innovative and very different. And when you hear him talk about it, it's really personal to him. A lot of it is related to, you know, COVID. When he lived through COVID, he really found himself feeling isolated and thinking about how he and his children were interacting with social media. And I think that was part of what drove this kind of subtle, like cigarettes are kind of in your face. The social media stuff is more subtle, more complicated, multifactorial, but no less important and no less of a crisis here in this country.
And it's interesting because I know we only have 1 minute left, but this analogy just kind of popped in my head. Like, I've been pretty honest of past life, had an eating disorder when I was young, and something with an eating disorder, unlike cigarettes or drinking, like you have to eat food, right? You have to learn how to live with food. And to a certain extent with like social media and like the effects it's having on our brains and on our kids, like, we're not just going to ban social media or how we like interact with the internet. So it's like this gray area of trying to live with it, but put healthy boundaries around it, maybe put regulations on it. And I don't know. That's where I'm going to end us for today, because we're coming up in a break. It's never long enough. Dr. Lyerly, as always, so much fun to have you here. We need a longer segment, I think. I'll see you next week.
This is why we talk about these things, right? Because they matter. Thank you for the opportunity, as always.
All right. When we come back, a Wisconsin beer update with Wisconsin's beer baron, Chris Drosner. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Yeah. This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
BC News, I'm Marina Roy. The Supreme Court out with a new landmark decision on voting rights this morning. Justices ruling Alabama violated the Voting Rights Act when the congressional district map was redrawn with only one majority black district, despite Alabama's population being 27% black. Another day of hazy, smoky conditions across states up and down the East Coast, the skies clouded by Canadian wildfire smoke.
The conditions are expected to last until this weekend. A weather system which remains locked in place is circulating all that smoky air. Washington, D.C., could see some of the worst conditions today, while cities including Pittsburgh and Dayton, Ohio, are bracing for worsening conditions tomorrow. Doctors recommend minimizing time outdoors in affected areas.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. Sources tell ABC News an indictment against former President Trump could happen any day now. ABC News learning Trump received a letter informing him that he is the target of a special counsel investigation over his alleged mishandling of classified documents. This is ABC News.
Oh, now, wait until you pull up to the stop and go light. But when you do, go ahead and save the Civic Media Station to one of your presets. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, and also on the Civic Media app.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Cuska. A 61-year-old Lancaster man is hurt after a crash on June 1st. The Grant County Sheriff's Office said the man was driving a UTV when he was hit by a pickup truck on County Highway A in the town of Ellensboro. The man was thrown from the UTV and had to be flown to a Madison hospital with serious injuries. The driver of the truck that hit the UTV was not hurt. A second Western Wisconsin city has closed its outdoor public pool due to maintenance issues. The Hoffman Aquatic Center in Black River Falls was closed due to a leak in the pool, causing it to lose about 18,000 gallons of water per day. The pool will be closed for the rest of the year while city crews try to repair it. A city official also said that the indoor water park would have extended hours this summer. An outdoor public pool in Chippewa Falls is delaying its summer opening due to a burst pipe. And the state high school softball championships began this morning in Madison at Goodman Diamond. Later today, Grantsburg will take on Iola Scandinavia in the afternoon, while McDonald plays Pacelli later tonight. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media Radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Some of my songs I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. And we are here with, it's been a while. We've missed a month. But you are, Chris, can I hear you?
Uh-oh.
Oh, there he is. Now I can hear you.
Okay.
But
all right, great.
We are here for our monthly Wisconsin Beer News update with Wisconsin's beer baron, Chris Drosner, who is the executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine and also the author of the Beer Baron column for the Wisconsin State Journal. But it's been, we didn't do last month, so I'm very excited to have you back on the show.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
So, it's like beer festival time, right? The summer is here. The beer gardens are aplenty. It feels like there's a new one popping up every week, but there's also lots of beer events happening this summer. And you wrote something about this recently. And so what are your kind of takeaways as far as entering into the summer season of beer events?
Yeah, it's summer is a really big season, obviously, for beer. I mean, I think people just kind of that they drink beer. But also, like, you know, in the industry, it's a big time. There's a lot of volume moving, and you know, and these events that kick up are kind of, you know, part of that framework. And yeah, I mean, this is the right time to get outside and you know, spend a few hours in a park or whatever, drinking beer. And it's been an interesting, you know, since the pandemic kind of shut a lot of these events down, it's been interesting to see how they've kind of ramped up, and it's pretty clear that the beer festival like thing is a little bit less than it was.
I think
it's probably coming from both ways. Like, I think there's the interest in like exploring and trying a whole bunch of different new beers is down a little bit. And I think there's some fatigue on the brewery side of things too. Like, you know, taking an extra day to go out on a Saturday to, you know, kind of, you know, beer festivals are always tricky because there's these two things, right? Like when I go to a beer festival, I want to try a whole bunch of different new beers and sample and talk about beer with people. But there's a lot of people who go to beer festivals just to get drunk. And
no,
that side what? Of things that
it's like when they
come
go,
on,
you don't think people go wine tasting to just try a new wine and not get drunk?
Right. Maybe that's been implicit the whole time, but I think for a long time, breweries did see them as legitimate, like kind of avenues to convert new customers and reach new people that they wouldn't be reaching otherwise through their tap rooms or, you know, at sampling events at stores or whatever. And I think at this point, like people know that craft beer is a thing. You're not going to be really turning that thing on. You're not really going to be like, especially for the older breweries, like anybody who's at these things pretty much knows the big
state
breweries.
Who's going to be
there? Yeah. I mean, there's going to be some value in kind of the newcomers and trying new things and that sort of thing. But I think that there's a lot of fatigue in the industry side of things. So, and I think we're seeing that kind of on both sides. Like, you know, the big one of the summer every year in Wisconsin is the Great Taste of the Midwest in Madison. That's the second Saturday in August. And that for the first time that I've ever been covering it for 15 plus years or whatever, they had tickets that were not sold. The tickets are sold in-person events way ahead. And those they will sell the tickets. It will sell out. But that those got plowed into this online lottery system that they do. And this is it is an amazing festival. Like, it is truly exploratory. There's like more than 100 breweries. It's in a great setting. And I think those kind of things are, and brewers are still excited about events like that. So I think what you're kind of like where the way that I'm thinking about festivals this summer and probably for the near future is, what are the festivals that really bring something special? Either a focus on a certain type of beer, like, you know, the Third Space IPA festival in August, or Lager and Friends, which was a couple of weeks ago here in Milwaukee as well. You know, so, or is there a really special setting or something else that really sets it apart? Like, you know, next weekend is the Door County Beer Festival, which is a really nice one in Bailey's Harbor. And then also the Wisconsin Beer Lovers Festival in Glendale at Bayshore, which is a fundraiser for the Wisconsin Brewers Guild. So, you know, those are the kind of breweries where breweries are excited to come out and, you know, kind of deal with all the drunk people and the
you know, I mean, from that side of the tent, it's kind of a pain in the butt, you know,
yeah.
Like all these people who are like, what's your lightest beer or what's your highest ABV beer? And all the, you know, it becomes a little bit of a S show.
It's,
you know,
well, it's that, but I'm trying to think of days when I worked in tech and we had to go to, like, you know, like conferences, and you had to be, it was like you'd be on the floor with your booth and people would come around and they'd want free stuff and you'd have to talk to them about your like SaaS software. Yeah. And but most of the time they weren't that interested and it wasn't a real lead whatsoever. But I'm trying to think of like that has to be the equivalent to people who work at the breweries who are like, well, we're going to go to this event. People are going to kind of come up. It's probably a little bit more fun than talking about software, but still it's like you're dealing with drunk people. You're dealing with people who may or may not, like, they're just trying to get their, yeah. They show you their wristband, and it's still a job. It sounds more fun than probably other jobs, but it's still, you know, probably not the most glamorous part.
Yeah, and I think one thing that sets the Better Beer Festivals apart from just the others is whether who you're talking to, if you do want to talk about beer at that tent, right? Like, it may, like a lot of these, it'll just be a volunteer pouring or somebody who doesn't really know anything about the beer that they're pouring. And, you know, that's kind of a bummer, you know?
Yeah.
I think that people want to be able to ask about, hey, this is interesting. Like, why is this beer the way it is or something? And have a good answer for it. And, you know, so I think some of those festivals where you actually have brewer staff on site, that's really where I'm spending my money. And I mean, like, let's be honest, like these things are not cheap. They can be the going rate this year is around $50. And then yeah. You can go up to 75 for like a lot of them have like these VIP hours where it's like exclusive access and extra beers and swag and stuff. So,
and then you got to pay for the Uber afterwards because don't drink
right.
And drive.
Absolutely not.
So then I guess, Chris Drossner, what would you recommend? So knowing that we have a statewide audience now, what are like your top three beer events you think people should check out this summer?
Well, I think those two next weekend are really, those are on the good, definitely on the good list. That's the Door County Beer Festival in Bailey's Harbor, next Saturday, June 17th. And then also the Wisconsin Beer Lovers Festival, which is also the same Saturday in Glendale. Those are two great ones. I mean, you know, I'm going to mention, I used to not tell people to try to go to the Great Taste of the Midwest in Madison because it is, you know, you have to get your tickets in May and it takes a lot of doing to go to that festival, but it okay. is the best festival I've ever been to.
Really?
And that's really the highlight. Yeah, it is. It really is. And I've been to Great American Beer Festival, the big one out in Denver and a lot of other ones. And this is the big daddy. This is the one where if you are a beer person, this is the one you have to go to because all the breweries save all their cool beers for this event. Sometimes they'll brew special beers just for this event. It is much, you get a lot of breweries that you will not see on shelves in Wisconsin. You know, you have, I think they had like 130 or something last year, maybe more. So that's just breweries. I mean, there's more than you can go to 100%. And, you know, it's the atmosphere is super celebratory. The brewers actually want to come to this one because they might be coming from Kansas or Ohio or wherever. And this is like a big deal. They get to go to Madison, have, you know, party it up, have a good time, and then hang out in this beautiful lakeside park. It's at Olin Park in Madison.
Yeah.
And be around people who are super excited about beer. The bar of entry has always made it more less of the drunk S show and more of the you know, kind of discussion and the positive aspects of beer festivals. But you know, the looser ticket thing is changing, and you can go. I used to not advise people to just go and figure it out, but you can go and figure it out now. Like there are tickets that are being sold. You know, they're on site, you know, people selling tickets, extras that they have or whatever on site, right outside the gate. You know, get a hotel room and give it a shot.
It is.
And if not, that whole night is fun. It's a good time of year.
There's a lot of energy captured in Madison, like
oh,
with
yeah.
the whole, yeah, with yeah. the entire event. But that's a good point, what you said about like the to a certain extent, having a higher bar for the barrier to entry being the cost. Because immediately I was just thinking about the classic story from like 20 years ago with Martini Fest at the Art Museum in Milwaukee, when it was like basically free to go. And they thought like, oh, let's have college students drink open bar martinis at an art museum. What could go wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's not even the cost. It's like the how hard it, like you have to just plan ahead a lot mm-hmm. more, and you have to know about it and make plans and that sort of thing. And that's still an effect. I mean, that's still a factor. And it's just really well run. It's put on by the Madison Homebrewers Guild, and so they're it's a nonprofit, so they're not trying to. You know, these for-profit ones are a little dicey, but you know, I think the vibe is just very good. It's like beer Christmas, basically.
Absolutely. All right. We're talking to Chris Drosner, who is the executive editor at Milwaukee Magazine and the author of the Beer Baron column for the Wisconsin State Journal. So also just, I guess, in general, with the summer being here, what makes a good summer beer? Are there any new summer beers that you think are especially tasty that people should check out?
Yeah, I know we're a little short on time than our previous double segment.
We got about three minutes. Yeah.
Okay, so New Glarus Pilsner is a Pilsner, which is like kind of the most approachable, one of the most approachable and kind of like beer-like styles, like for just regular beers. So they came out with a Pilsner this year that replaced one of my favorite beers, Kid Kolsch. It is really, really good. And okay. I just want to get that recommendation out there out front. I gave it 5 stars in my review. Oh, wait, maybe it was 4.5 stars earlier this spring. So it's great, as you'd expect from New Glarus. But yeah, you want to have obviously light body, drinkability. Balance is really important between sweet and bitter. You know, a little effervescence is good. It's got to be dry. It's like that's an underrated aspect of kind of, it's one of the reasons why like hard seltzer, I think, has been a really popular thing the last few years for summers, which is we haven't been seeing as much of that lately this year, but you know, but that dry kind of maybe a little bit of a mineral kind of finish to kind of propel you into that next sip and make you want to take that next sip. So
I seem to never have those are kind of things that I look for, of wanting to take the next sip.
Right. Yeah. As though I needed some excuse.
That's interesting, because I feel like when I think of summer beers, I think of like Blue Moon and sweeter beers that come with like a piece of fruit in it. But you're saying mm-hmm. really more drier beers?
I mean, there's many ways to come at
that's
this.
True.
But that's really what I look for. And I tend to look for something that is like can be like when I said balance, like every beer commercial talks about balance, right? But what that means is that you can, like, especially with a craft beer, you know, with something that's a little bit more full flavored, I want to be able to like slow down and pay attention to this beer and really get something out of it. Like maybe it's a delicate hop profile, or maybe it's a little bit of tartness or a little zippy bite of bitterness at the end. Something like that, that makes me, that rewards like looking closer. But I also want to just not think about that stuff and just crush it. You know, like if it's hot, it's you know, I'm sweaty. And you know, the lawnmower beer thing.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're coming up against a break, Chris. It goes really fast whenever you're here. There's lots to talk about. But we will see you again in 1 month for another Wisconsin Beer Update. Chris Drosner is the executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine and the author of the Beer Baron column for the Wisconsin State Journal. Check him out. Thank you for being here, friend.
Cheers, everyone.
All right. Well, when we come back, we will wrap up today's show. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
As a matter of fact, I love beer.
Yes,
the Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
We think it has to do with changing levels of hormones. So it's not so much about just losing the hormones, but our ovaries are kind of sputtering as we're getting older. And sometimes they're just like, you know, here's a lot of estrogen. Now you get no estrogen.
Now I'm just going to have this vision of my ovaries yelling at each other.
Ethel!
It's your Ethel,
calm down. What are you doing over there?
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The idea that they're going to basically take this once-in-a-lifetime surplus, they're going to just throw that money away as a giveaway to the wealthiest corporations and individuals.
One of the best jokes I heard last Christmas was, let your kids believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy this afternoon with highs around 77. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows around 51. Tonight, mainly clear skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered rain showers. Highs level off around 81. Upper 70s Saturday with a chance for scattered storms. Upper 60s, lots of sunshine Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 70.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And this show just flew right by.
It really did. It just zoomed.
And so, but yeah, so we have a funny, I'm trying to understand if this is a compliment or not.
Oh, this should be interesting.
So let me get the whole thing up because it's a bit of a mouthful. So we got a message on the live stream for Facebook, which you are also always welcome. Yesterday, we had a little bit of issues with it, but most days, if you would like to watch the show instead of just listen to the show, you can do that on the YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter page at As Goes Wisconsin. And you can leave comments there. And also go back and watch the replay. Every once in a while, if I forget to turn off my mic during the break, you get to hear, as I said last week to Joe Selmans, linguist from UW-Madison, when we were talking about cursing, I said, for some reason, I'm totally fine not cursing on air, but off air is a different story. So you may hear some colorful language sometimes when things go wrong.
It might happen.
But we were just left a comment from Ron Legro, and I think it's a compliment.
All right, let me hear it.
I'm going to read it. You tell me if you think this is a compliment or not.
Okay.
This is from Ron. I may have developed a new health issue listening to As Goes. Like many older guys, I fall into fatigue too quickly, so several years ago, my doc prescribed 20 micrograms of vitamin B12 daily. That was enough to help me keep me convincingly spry on the basketball courts for years. Now, however, and this may be just a coincidence, after trying to keep up with your delicious but frenetic program, I visited my doc and he upped my B12 daily quota to 1,000 micrograms. Okay, then. So I'm hoping I'll be able to get through an entire As Goes Wisconsin show now without heading to the fainting couch. Well, and the 1 hour show reduction may also help, sadly. Hello, As Goes. Are we frenetic?
I don't feel we're frenetic. We can try and be less frenetic.
I like our energy.
I like, what was it, delicious and frenetic?
Delicious and frenetic.
Well, that should go on a shirt.
I think, yeah. I would love to be described as delicious but frenetic.
As Goes Wisconsin, delicious but frenetic.
And frenetic.
And frenetic.
Because frenetic's not always bad thing. Frenetic. Well, the definition of frenetic. Fast and energetic in a rather wild and uncontrolled way. I'll take that.
That is hilarious. Don't forget, you can always get in touch with us 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text at that same number. And you can always just send us an email. It's asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us.
Yes, and as always, if you missed any part of today's show, you can go listen to it as a podcast. Certainly download the Civic Media app. I think we had a glowing endorsement from Tom from L.A.
Yeah, that's the promo right there.
Of being able to take it wherever you want. You can listen to all the different stations, of which we now have 19 in total. We have 6 music stations across the state of Wisconsin. And let's just do this rundown right now.
Sure.
So WMDX in Madison, which is 1580 AM, 92.7. Obviously, we're recording from WAUK, the Shaw, at 540 AM, 101 FM. This is in Waukesha and hits most, a lot of southeast Wisconsin.
Yep.
We're also now in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN,
which has been there for a long time. We're really, really thrilled to be on WRJN.
So that's 1400 AM, 99.9 FM. And that's also where you'll be able to hear the Packers this fall.
Cool.
Which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
We're also now on, as of this week, in La Crosse. Listening, we're on the Eagle, which is WLCX.
Beautiful, beautiful La Crosse.
And 1490. And obviously still over in that neck of the woods, we've been on and are still on Richland Center, WRCE. News from the Center, 1450 AM, 107.7 FM. Bull Falls Radio up in Wausau, 1230 AM, 98.9 FM. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM, 98.3. New this week, we're in Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap.
Hello, Gene.
Hello. Who's Gene?
Jeannie. Jeannie's a regular caller.
Oh, Jeannie's in Eau Claire.
Yeah, Jeannie's in Eau Claire.
I should have known that. I thought she was in a more rural area than...
I think she's outside of the city.
Okay. And then obviously we're up in Amory, Lake Eyre, 1260 AM. Hayward, Buzz of the North, 910 AM. And I don't know if we're talking about this other one yet. We're going to have one more.
I think we should...
We're going to keep... Since I'm going to err on the side of caution, but there's going to be one more before long that will round out all of the stations that we're on. And I... There's a reason why I don't do it daily, because there's a lot of them to call out with the numbers and the call signs and the area codes and everything. But it is so fun to be talking to so many different parts of the state. And it kind of goes back to what, again, Tom from LA said at the beginning of the show. And I think it's something I try as hard as I can, even though I live in Milwaukee, to not make this a Milwaukee-centric show.
Right.
And try to find stories of stuff that is happening across the state, either in different locations, locally, but also things that affect the entire state. Because having spent as much time as I have in Rapids and knowing the different aspects of the state, like, I do genuinely believe, like, we're all Wisconsinites. And, like, each town deserves their own recognition of things that are happening there. But also, like, the feeling of camaraderie and the feeling of, like, neighborliness that we all live in this state and we all live here together and we all have to work on it together. And so I'm super pumped to be in this many different markets.
Oh, absolutely. And we've said this before and we mean this quite sincerely. If there's something going on in your community that you would like us to talk about or someone in your community that you think would be great to have on the show, just let us know.
Yeah.
We really, you know, we can't be on the ground everywhere.
No.
We are located in southeastern Wisconsin, but that doesn't mean that we're not interested in things that are going on in Amory or Eau Claire or La Crosse or Green Bay. So you can always reach out anytime, 844-967-2789. Call or text or email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us.
And with that, we will end today's show. So thank you to everyone who called and texted and was part of the show today. We will be back tomorrow with, we're actually going to have Mike Crute from Devil's Advocates.
I am excited.
On Fridays, we're going to start collaborating, having a crossover with some of our other civic media hosts. And to kick it off with our first segment of kind of a roundup for the week of news, good, bad, and the ugly, we'll be with Mr. Mike Crute from Devil's Advocates. So that'll be at 10:30 tomorrow. And then we're going to talk to, who else do we have tomorrow?
Sherry Tussler.
Sherry Tussler is going to give us an update on food banks and what's been happening since the food share benefits shrunk. But it'll be a fun Friday, so come back tomorrow at 10 a.m. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. Hello, it's me. I'm not at home. If you'd like to reach me, leave me alone. I think I change. Do you good? Do you good? I change. Do you good? I think I change. Do you good? Do you good? I change. Do you good? Oh, I think I change. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.